introspective, inward-looking, self-examining, characterized by or given to introspection.
Welcome to the Introspective Podcast, your compass for internalizing the path towards optimal lifestyle design, business success, and mindful entrepreneurship with your host, Jake Anderson.
Welcome back to another episode here on the Introspective Podcast. My name is Jake Anderson. I'm your host. And today we are bringing on a very special guest who has done some incredible things in his journey of entrepreneurship. I think I've never been this curious before about bringing on a guest because I'm just looking at the background and the story of who I'm bringing onto the show. And it just blows my mind at some of the things he has been able to accomplish. And, you know, from starting his first business with $300 in the bank, selling blenders door to door, to now the founder of the Athena Group of Companies, a business conglomerate that operates in more than 40 countries, Mario Nonfal has cracked the code for growth hacking and has bootstrapped multiple companies to the millions in e-commerce. So we're going to really dive into growth hacking. And he's also had a lot of success on Clubhouse. And there was an interesting occurrence that happened through that experience on Clubhouse that we're going to get in later into this episode. But without further ado, I bring to the show Mario. Mario, how are you doing?
What's up, Jake? How are you, man?
Good, good. And I, you know, before we got on a call, I was complimenting your beautiful backdrop there in Lebanon. So from Lebanon to Virginia, I welcome you. It's great to have you. And I want to really dive into, you know, I think it's really interesting that you were able to build this conglomerate that's operating in all these different countries. And you seem to be just so relaxed, but have so much going on at the same time. Like, that was the first thought I had. I was like, gosh, this guy is so relaxed, but he's got so much going on. And I want to ask you about just this journey that really got you to where you're at with this conglomerate. And tell me, like, what were some of the challenges? What were some of the setbacks? And what were some of the breakthroughs that you had?
Yeah, so shout out to Lebanon. I arrived here 2 days ago. Nice place they rented me. So I haven't even seen the place yet. I've been here, I just woke up a couple of hours ago. So I'm about to discover the place. So what I do is I rent villas in different countries. I'm in Kiev last week. Dubai is going to be next. Turkey is going to be first in Dubai. But I rent different villas and I bring my team there and we work a lot. And I've got a place now in Lebanon where we've got a big team here in Lebanon. And we'll be hustling here. So yeah, man, like what got me to where I am, as in my story, what got me to the first million and 10 million, or what got me to having this, you know, hustle house in different countries?
You know, I think that, you know, more specifically, what we're just, you know, going from a million to 10 million, or even getting to that first million, I find it interesting to understand, like, what were some of the breakthrough moments that you had in that journey specifically?
Yeah. So, the journey wasn't smooth. And I didn't know what the hell I'm doing, to be honest. Most people are in a similar position. I know a lot of people that listen to your podcast are starting out with their business. Some already have a business. And both, you know, both categories don't know what the hell they're doing. Mm. You just don't. When you start to understand how much you don't know, it gives you an edge because then you're humble enough to always be learning and to pivot when you get something wrong. Now, I was extremely humble. I had imposter syndrome when I started my first company. I'm like, who the hell am I? I didn't even know what entrepreneurship meant. But one thing I did right is what I would do is I would test different things. And then when something works, I triple down. Hmm. So I tested selling different products door to door. I tested different strategies of selling these products. When I went into e-com, I tested different ads. And then when something works, I just go all in. I did that for 2 years. I didn't expect my business to last more than a year or two. I'm like, let me cash up a bit and then move on to the next thing. That business that I started, I've got a few companies now, but that business freely still exists to this day and doing better than ever in a few dozen countries. So it doubling down, like Jim Collins talks about it, you throw pebbles and then when a pebble hits, you get the cannonball. Again, you throw pebbles, you test different ideas and a pebble hits, an idea works, get the freaking cannonball and just go all in until that idea no longer works or the law of diminishing returns until all your efforts start, the return starts to diminish. When you get to that stage, you'll move on to the next thing. That's if you're a one-man band. If you've got a team, something works, get your team all in on it. Like right now we're going all in on Clubhouse and that's something we're going to talk about because it worked. and we put all our team there. Then that ended abruptly. Now we're, or at least for now, that now we're moving to Twitter Spaces and we're moving to NFTs, non-fungible tokens. So I'm deep in crypto. I'm a partner at a law firm. I got a VC fund. I got a consulting firm. And there's a lot of demand now. There's a lot of potential with NFTs, non-fungible tokens, and a lot of hype behind it. So that's, we found a strategy that works really well in the space. So that's probably our main focus right now as a company. We're doubling down. So my, the way I started my business and doubling down on what works is still the way I do business today.
So one thing, and I read this on your website, and I think this ties in with what you were just talking about. You said smart work is predominantly doing the right thing. But I think for a lot of people that are, you know, getting started, and I know I've been in this position too, and you, perhaps you've been here as well, is you always question yourself, am I doing the right thing? Like, how do I know if I'm actually doing the right thing and getting clarity there? Like, do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's a good question. I get this asked a lot. By the way, there's no echo on my end, is there?
No, you sound good.
Perfect. All right. Some people ask me, when is it a good time to stop beating a dead horse or stop doing something when there's no return? When do you know a business idea or a strategy isn't working? There's a lot of metrics you can have. Like in Clubhouse, for example, how many people are joining my room? Is my room growing? In a business, the bottom line is obviously the most important, but there's other metrics as well. Is my community growing? You're launching a podcast. Are more people listening to my podcast? People that are listening, am I getting positive feedback, negative feedback? So looking at those metrics, the main metrics, which are how much money am I making or how big is my community growing? And then mini metrics along the line. What's my conversion rate? What's the response rate? You have an e-com business. What's the retention rate of the customer? What's the customer feedback? What's the, there's a score, the score 1 out of 10, the customer satisfaction score. I forgot what it's called, but there's a score where you score, where you rate, you ask people to rate your their satisfaction with your product, with your whole experience 1 to 10. If your rating is below 10, there's a name for that. Is if the rating is below 10, it's NPV. NPV. I don't know what it stands for. If the rating is below 7, that's not a good thing. If it's rating, if that rating is increasing, then you're doing something right. So using those indicators that will allow you to determine if you're doing the right thing is important, because then you know you're focusing on the right thing. And because two important things when doing work, conscientiousness determines success. Conscientiousness has four factors. Two of the most important ones are working hard and working smart. Working hard is easy to know, hey, I'm working hard, I'm not sleeping. Working smart, doing the right thing, is more important and harder to determine if you're doing the right thing or not. So those indicators are key for that.
Yeah, that's, I'm so glad you brought that up. I mean, it's easy to just kind of get caught in this tornado of working, and you're kind of lost into what's actually working. But if you don't measure it, then you really, you just have no clarity. Like, you really don't know exactly what's working or what's not. And I think that it's important for people to be intentional about having, you know, some kind of, I guess, some kind of a scorecard or something established with whatever it is that they're doing, to be able to constantly keep a thumb on that pulse of growth and measurement. You know, I was looking, I saw a YouTube video, and I kind of smiled as I was watching this, and I wanted to ask you about it. The YouTube video was like, you talk about not paying for gurus, right? And I know I'm smiling to you, man. I think it was, and it was funny, because like the way you did the video, for anybody that's watching, you know, I'll link the YouTube video up in the show notes so people can go watch it. But I thought like the way that you spelled it out was beautiful. Like the way that you explained it, because I know there's people out there, especially when they get started in online, they're very naive, maybe is the word for it. And they get into it and then they end up spending money with people, and then they realize that that was a mistake, or they learned the hard way, what have you. But you know, when it comes to development and getting started, we had started earlier about talking about the mistakes that you make and you screw things up, et cetera, et cetera. So the advice that a lot of people give is like, well, go find a mentor, or go find a coach, or go find somebody that can help you along the way. Like, what's your thoughts on mentorship and coaching and kind of how to approach things?
Yeah. That alone is a journey for me. That there's one hell of a story about this. If you want me to tell the story, I can. But I'll answer your question first. And if you want the story, I can tell you of my journey into making that video, my intentions with it, how that transpired, and then how that all turned against me somehow. It's a pretty crazy story. But my conclusion to the audience, to bring them value, Look, learning is everything. Being humble enough to learn is key. Mm. Paying for learning is nothing wrong with it. But paying, expecting, like if you listen to all these coaches, a lot of them, not all of them, many of these coaches, each one of them will tell you what they teach will change your business. Facebook marketing will change your business. My strategy, this strategy will change your business. This Google strategy will change your business. This influence, this affiliate strategy, this ask strategy, all these different strategies, they make it seem like it's the one thing that will change your business. That's over-promising. And then what people will do is they'll think this is the magic bullet, that if I learn this, I'm fine. Mm-hmm. It's not like that. Like business is a freaking difficult puzzle, even for the smartest people. Even those people making courses, many of them don't even have a business because it's hard. There's some people that is completely slimy as hell. I've got one of, there's one guy, I wish I remember his name because I want to call him out, but he's known, like he would be promising the world. And then he says he makes X amount of money. I've got his name, something Wang, I think. And then his e-com, his drop shipping businesses were losing him money. One of them was scamming clients. And then one of his students was actually making more money than the guy selling the course. And the guy selling the course, there's an internal discussion between them. They're like, shit, this guy, this student of ours is actually making more money than us. Let's copy his ID. So the guru, the coach, mm-hmm. has a pretty good following, is copying the ID of his students. This is the bottom of the, this is the, these are the people that I don't just call out and I freaking hate and I don't think that should exist in business. Now, then there's the other side. There's the people like the Ty Lopez. You know, I know Ty, would chat every here and there. We're chatting yesterday. I know Ty. Mm-hmm. He shows you the Lamborghinis. He shows you the girls. Sure. But then when you listen to him, he doesn't give you a magic bullet like this thing will change your business. No. He goes overboard with marketing. But what he teaches is logical. His prices for his courses, at least now, are like paying $15, $30, $60, $100 is fine. When I start seeing coaches started charging $3,000, $5,000 for people that barely have enough money and then telling them, hey, get a loan mm-hmm. to pay for a course, I think anyone that can't afford a course should never pay for a course. If you're not making six figures or high five figures, don't even look at a freaking course. But if you are making money, if you can afford Sam Ovens' course, Sam Parr's course, Jason Calacanis has a course on how to raise money. He likes to call out fake gurus, but he has a course himself. These are good courses to buy. There's a place for them. But if you can't afford them, don't get a loan to get a course because most of what you need is available for free. A course, all they do in a course is they structure it for you and they hold you accountable and they give you that extra bit of support. But if you don't have the money, you can get everything for free. Me, I've got two courses, one about growth hacking, one about building an agency through a drop service method. They're all free. There's no funnel. And I have communities where we support you, all of them for free. People message me every day joining those communities. There's never been a funnel. There's never been an upsell, nothing at all. So there are people that help for free, but I will not go as far as one of those. If you pay a coach $10,000, he's going to go further than I will. Why? Because he received $10,000. It's a business model for him. For me, that's not a business model that I have. So mm-hmm. I've got friends that do coaching, JT Fox, Ty Lopez, etc. But I also have friends like Spencer Cornelia, Tom Nash, that call out bullshit courses. So I've got friends on both sides of the aisle. I think there's a middle ground. There's good courses, but there's bullshitters. Anyone that promises the world and they're just trying to take your money, avoid those people.
Yeah.
Listen to them. If they promise the world, avoid those freaking people. If you ask them, hey, I don't think I have the money, and they keep pushing you to get their course, avoid those people. But if you tell them I don't have money, they're like, hey, come back when you have money. Or if they have a certain criteria before they accept you, they're like, hey, you need to be making $50,000 a year before you jump in our course. Those are people I would listen to. Those are people that they might bring you value. So there's a place for them. But there's also a lot of snake oil salespeople.
Yeah, I've experienced them. I've never paid anybody, you know, in the high thousands or multiple thousands of dollars for programs. But I definitely have even spent like a few hundred dollars on a program, got into it and kind of scratched my head and thought, wow, this was not at all what I expected getting into it. But real quick, before we go any further, let's do a quick plug here. You mentioned that you have a community and there's some free courses for growth hacking. Like where could people get access to that or get?
Just, Google my name, Mario Norfol, N for Nelly, A, W, F for Fred, A, L. Google my name and contact me on any platform. Say, hey, I want to join your community. We'll plug you in. I appreciate the plug, Jake. And we just support. I've been doing it for a few years and I've never charged anything, anyone. So it's something I enjoy doing.
Yeah. That's great. That's awesome. We need more people like you out there who's willing to be that giving on helping people, you know, especially people who who really are trying to make a difference in our lives and their families and make an impact on other lives. And they need that guidance. And you're totally right. I mean, you can, I think even Elon Musk has said this one time in an interview, because they were asking about college education. He's like, he kind of looked at, you know how Elon is. He's like, hey, I mean, anything you want, you can just get it for free on the internet. Like, why would you, you know, why would you go and pay for education? It's just a waste.
Because there's more to it. Like, again, one thing that you find about me is I'm not one sided. I'm not binary. I'm not, this is bad, this is good. I'm always in the middle.
Yeah.
And there's a book about billionaires that tries to look at the most common characteristic among billionaires, and it's not being binary. Billionaires, they always find a middle ground, mm-hmm. Instead of looking at things black and white. I hate this person. This person's evil. This thing is evil. This thing is great. This thing is perfect. This will change my life. No, somewhere in the middle. When something seems too good to be true, it probably is. When it's when it feels like the world is coming to an end, it probably isn't. Now, back to the point that Elon is making. Yeah, college is I'm not a fan of college, especially for entrepreneurs. There is a different side. It's not only the education. Paid course is not only education. If they're a good course, they hold you accountable. Yeah. They structure things for you. They do hold you accountable. Now, is it worth $3,000, $5,000 like Sam Ovens' course? I bought it for one of my team members a few years ago. He's my business partner now, about 4 years ago. Is it worth X number of dollars? He says it is. I say it depends. Can you afford it? If you're making enough money to afford it, then yeah, it could be worth it. Are you the type of person that will sit there, listen to it? Do you know what you're expecting? Then sure. But is it a $5,000 course for someone just starting out and it promises you to become a millionaire in a year? Then it's bullshit.
Yeah. Look at the messaging. I mean, look, I think that's a great filter, is like, look at the messaging in the sales, messaging, and see like, what are some of the things that they are saying, some of the promises that they're making. And I think that if it's put in this context of, you know, get rich quick, and you know, this thing is going to be the key to changing your entire business, it almost seems, you know, too good to be true kind of a situation. It probably is. And it's probably some snake oil that you might be getting involved in. So, listen, I want to transition over to talking about growth hacking, because I know that's a big thing that you're involved in. And first off, just for like, just to kind of get started, like, what specifically do you mean when you say growth hacking? Like, is this as in finding quicker ways to get from point A to point B within your business, or like what specific, like, tell me a little bit more about that.
Yeah. All right. So this, what I'm going to talk about now, is probably the most valuable thing anyone listening will find, especially if you're starting a business or if you're doing six figures or five figures, even seven figures. Growth hacking, I call it, if you go on YouTube, right, growth hacking mindset, a video comes out where we discuss in details what it means to have a growth hacking mindset. Because at a high level, it's a mindset. Granular level, there's a lot of these strategies which I'll touch on. I found out about growth hacking as a mindset a few years ago. I never dug into it. I'm like, oh, this is really cool. I should dig into it. I never did. And then a year ago, one of my now business partners, his name is Kirill, he got into it. And he was working with me as a salesperson, got into growth hacking, and showed me what he was capable of doing as a beginner. And I'll give you some of those examples. They're freaking crazy. I was so obsessed. I rented a big villa in Fethiye in Turkey during COVID. It's a 9-bedroom villa. I had many growth hackers come and go. Some of the smartest people come and go. My business partners came in and I hired people. I found business partners there. And we built some of the biggest businesses while we're there, or grew my existing businesses through growth hacking. It was just purely a growth hacking villa. I'm in, as I said, Lebanon now. We're bringing my team here in Lebanon. Might be going to Colombia soon. All of it is growth hackers. That's my obsession. And I have an agency called We Are Growth Hackers. So what is growth hacking? It's a mindset. What do I mean by that? From a business perspective, growth hacking is getting from point A to point. It's gaming algorithms, okay? You look at how things work and you're like, how can I leverage this to my advantage, okay? So let's say we look at Reddit. Okay, Reddit ranks, well, I'll give you a very simple example. Let's look at Quora. Quora is trusted by Google. It's a website that answers questions. Google trusts that website. It's got really high authority. So they're like, oh, cool. Then I could use Quora to rank high on Google. So it's like a little shortcut. Now, okay, how do I do that? Well, I need to rank high on Quora first and then pitch whatever I need to pitch. How can I organically do it? How can I rank high on Quora in an organic way? Well, Quora, there's upvotes, or on Medium, it's claps that people will click after reading an article that would allow you to rank high on the platform. They're like, all right, as a growth hacker, how can I rank high on the platform by getting a lot of upvotes or claps? Then you'll be like, and then pitch my service. And then a growth hacker will come up with a strategy like, all right, I can use one account to ask a question. I can use another account to answer the question in a very subtle way. Like, what are the top marketing agency? Number one will be some big one. Number two, some other really big one. Number three will be me, my small agents. So in a subtle way, I put mine there. So now I tick number one box. I pitched my service on Quora. Number two is how to rank high on Quora. Well, I need people to upvote it. Well, there's a way you can get people on a website called Microworkers to do anything you want for very cheap. There's another website called Mechanical Turk, same thing. So then you pay people to go to the page, to click on upvote, then you rank high on Quora. Okay, so I'm trying to break down exactly the strategy that we do, but a very basic strategy of how a growth hacker thinks. They're like, all right, so I can go to that website, Mechanical Turk, or Microworkers is better, and then get people to go and click, and that gains the algorithm, so now I rank higher. But then the algorithm will probably have ways to find out that these clicks, these upvotes are not real. I need to make it seem when people go to upvote, they actually read the article. So you have to find a way to get those people to spend time on the page, and there's a way to do that, before clicking upvote. So then the algorithm of Quora will be like, okay, these people that went on the page and clicked upvote, they spent time on the page. It means they read the article. It means those upvotes are legitimate, and then it helps the algorithm. And then if you want me to break it down further, I can on how to make people spend time on the page, but I won't go that technical. And then now you've ranked high on Quora, and then that will then rank high on Google for that certain keyword. And I hope you chose the long tail keyword that you can rank high for. And we've done this. My friend did it for me as a surprise. If you go on Google right now and you write best bachata dancer, I'm a bachata dancer. I travel the world dancing bachata. It's all over my Instagram. Mm-hmm. That's why I was in Ukraine 2 days ago. And I'll be in Turkey in a few days. So my friend KK Kirill did it as a little joke for me. And he ranked me out. If you go best bachata dancer on Google right now, there's a Quora answer in Google's. Google will actually, it's called zero page ranking. You know, Google gives you the answer on Google. Mm-hmm. You don't have to click on any link. So on Google, it puts me as number three in the world. I can put myself as number one or two, but I'm number three in the world. That was a small hack. Now, this is a nice little cute gift for me. But if you do that for a business, imagine best podcast, and your podcast comes up as number two, number three. Obviously, I'll bring a lot of free traffic. With a growth hacker, it's really easy to implement. So when I saw that ability, and that's one of many things, you know, they sent thousands of messages on Discord, on Slack, on LinkedIn every day. I've made a lot of money through growth hacking, white hacks, all of it is legal, ethical. But it's like everyone talks about Google marketing, Facebook marketing, affiliate, influencer. No one talks about growth hacking. And that boggles my mind, because I think this is by far the most important skill for anyone getting into business, getting into entrepreneurship, because it will give you a massive edge, whether you're building a community, whether you're building an e-com business, e-com less so, but community, B2B, it's the number one weapon. It's been my secret weapon for the last 12 months. And, you know, Grew North Equity is one of my companies. I'm a partner at, not my company, to 8 figures. We are growth hackers doing 7, should I hit 8 figures as an agency. IBC, my crypto consulting firm, is doing 7 figures and is growing really fast. And all my businesses are growing because of the growth hacking team that I have. So I'm very grateful. I don't take credit for them. They're the growth hackers. I'm the ideas person. But it's an incredible skill that I think anyone listening should learn.
Man, that's so... And I was following you through that strategy on Quora. One of the questions I had, I just want to just make sure I understand this clear, because I'm like sitting there like thinking, it's like, I'm ready to go implement this right now with just the Quora. But I got a couple questions for you with this. So the first one is, you were talking about, they're called micro workers, right? These are people that I guess are just, they're VAs or whoever that come in and perform. They'll go on and I guess they'll engage with the content.
Whatever you want, yeah.
Whatever you want them to do. And what you were saying is that you want to make sure that people are, it's got to look, it's got to come off as it's genuine. It's actually a valuable piece of content, because that's the purpose of these algorithms, is making sure that you're seeing the things that you should be seeing when you're searching. So so that was the first thing. I just want to make sure I clarify that about the micro workers. But the other thing you mentioned about white hat, I've always been, and I'm not an SEO guy, but I've always been a little bit confused. Like, what do you mean by white hat? Is that, I guess, just SEO strategy that's ethically done? Is that essentially what it is, or something different?
Yeah. So to answer your first question, I think you do SEO. So you understand that all this growth hacking is fluff if you're not good at copywriting. Because what growth hacking gets you attention, gets you traffic, gets you ahead of it, gets you an edge. But if your post on Quora is shit, people are not going to read it, Google will penalize it. Because to play the long game, You have to think of what the algorithm is looking to achieve. You game it. You try to get ahead, but you can't. Anyone that takes shortcuts in a way that's not bringing value to the end consumer, it's not going to last.
Right.
So if your article is crap, Google will find that out. People will not read it. People will not share, or people will just not take action. So let's say we send thousands of messages a day on LinkedIn for us and for our clients. We do the same on Slack. We do the same on Instagram emails. Now we're going to start doing it on Discord. If that message is crap, if that message is spammy, if the targeting is bad, we send thousands of messages pretty much for free, but it'll be a waste because the copy is, or close to a waste because the copy is bad. So the copy is everything. I mean, copywriting is, again, an incredible skill to learn. Copywriting and growth hacking, you're set for business, and I mean it. Okay, now to answer your question, so that's in terms of the core, right? And you said, how do you have to get people that go from the place to look authentic? Yeah, so what we do is we tell people, on our micro workers, because they make money by just doing the action. So all you tell them is to clap, all they'll do is clap. Mm-hmm. They'll go in there, they'll clap, or they'll upvote. But if you want to spend time on the page the way we do it, and that's thanks to a person called Jared Codling, he's an incredible growth hacker. What he came up with an idea is to tell the people to actually send you the first word, the 12th word, and the last word of every paragraph in the article. So now they have to read, count, find those words, and then send them to you, and then upvote to get paid. So it's like a little quiz they have to fill. Mm. To find those words, it takes them a bit more time, so you pay them a tiny bit more, but now they have to spend time on the article before upvoting. And now the algorithm will assume they read the article because they spent time finding those specific words. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So you, okay. That, yeah, totally. So if you have an article, you give them, you know, I need word 1 or 5, 20, and 62. And that forces
of each paragraph. So we do of every paragraph, because each article is like has paragraph. Of every paragraph, I want the first word, the last word, and the 12th word. And they have to count, pop, pop, pop. They have to write the first word, 12th. Pop.
Okay.
So that would you can even complicate it more. The first paragraph, I want the first, 12th, and last. Second paragraph, I want the third, 8th, and 13th. And that's simply counting. They spend time on the article, and then the algorithm will be like, oh, these are legitimate upvotes, and it will count them. Now the white hat and black hat. I don't go black hat first. Three reasons. And I'll explain what black hat is. I don't want the drama. I don't want the headaches. I like to sleep well at night. I think it's too risky, and I think it's short term focused. Mm-hmm. I like long term. I like building brands. Everything I do is long term. It's short term money. I don't waste my time on it because I'm in a pretty comfortable position in life, and I don't want to jeopardize it.
Right.
Now what do I mean by black hat? Black hat in general means you're crossing lines. Like on Discord, for example, right now, yesterday, one of my growth hacker, I won't mention him, but one of my team members, he digs into these things. He looks into them. He's like, Mario, actually, there's a way. We like to share black hat strategies that we find, but we never do them. On Discord, which is people build communities, he found a way to go into a Discord server and be able to bring down a server. That means we can find out our competitor, what server they're on. Let's say you have a podcast that's competing with you. They use Discord as their community. You can shut down their group, like delete it off the platform, and they lose thousands of people in their group. That's a black hat strategy. That's free. We can growth hackers, like there's a guy called Jared that I know. He's not in my team, but he's a good friend of mine. He can destroy your website. So if you cross him, he can like destroy all of your analytics by getting a lot of porn traffic to your website, and he can de-index your website from Google. He could crush you. He's never done those strategies, but these are things that growth hackers can do. And that's where there's a line where white hat is like hackers in general. You know, hackers can go in and steal money, black hat. So that's actual black hat hacking. That's illegal or unethical. And then white hat hackers, which are very popular, they go in, they do it in different companies, but they tell the company about like, hey, I found this vulnerability, and they get paid for it. Mm-hmm. They're called penetration testers or white hat hackers. And so growth hackers is the same. You could do growth hacking to get ahead as a business strategy in a business competition, or you could do it in a black way. I gave you some extreme examples, but a black way could be, you know, SEO strategies that work, but the algorithm wouldn't like. And what happens is that you could get penalized for that. That's like the unethical black hat, but not illegal black hat. And then there's illegal things like the Discord or destroying a competitor.
Is there a way that, as because you were talking about your friend that can go in and pretty much destroy you if he wanted to, right? He has the skill and capability to go in and wipe out your website. I mean, is there a way to protect yourself against that? I mean, I'm just curious. That sounds kind of
there is like, I'm not the technical one. I don't know how to do it. I got it's like a general overview. It's tough. Like one of the things he does is he would be able to get a lot of traffic from different porn websites. or different really low quality websites to literally flood your website. That will screw up all your remarketing. If you're remarketing to your audience, you're sitting there remarketing to some cheap porn traffic that doesn't care about your website, and that's you're wasting money that way, and your conversion rate collapses. Mm-hmm. So that's really hard. I don't know how to find that. If you have an Instagram page, for example, and someone just buys a whole bunch of fake followers to your Instagram page, and like really low quality fake followers, and floods your Instagram page with fake comments, the only thing you could do is sitting there, like it costs them dollars, pennies to the cents to the pound, whatever you call it, like just pence, very, very cheap to do that. And then it's bad to do that to your Instagram. It fucks up your algorithm. Sorry for cursing, Jake.
No,
it screws
fine.
Up your algorithm. Oh, cool. It screws up your algorithm, and it looks bad. You know, let's say, imagine you have 10,000 followers, and then tomorrow you wake up, there's 100,000 followers. Everyone will know they're fake, and then your comments are all full of crap, fake followers, fake likes. You just have to sit there cleaning them manually. So, to be honest, if you cross a growth hacker, it's so sad. If you cross one of those really, and that's why going down that path is just so ugly. If you cross them, they don't have much to lose. Many of them don't have a lot of money. It's surprising because they don't know how to build a business. They just focus on like those short-term growth hacks, most of them, not all. So the blackout ones will just destroy your business, and they don't have anything to lose. They do it anonymously. So it's really difficult and expensive to fight against. And I've never been the victim of it. Of course, I've never caused it to anyone because it's not who I am. But I've never been the victim of it. But what they've told me, the things I've seen that they can do, I've never seen anyone do it. So I've never met someone that's done those things. Actually, I met someone that's done them. I don't work with them. But the things they do, I just can't find a way of fighting them. I just can't. I really cannot do that. Like we could destroy people really easily. And I'm thinking there's no way for them to get out of it. Now, obviously, the other side of the coin is that if they're technical, maybe there's a way to track who did it, and there's a way to track it back. But those growth hackers, they're really, really smart. Those people you find on websites like Black Hat World, they're pretty freaking insane. But that's a world I try to stay away from.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't want to be involved in that world either. I try to stay in good graces with everybody I can. I don't want to cross a growth hacker just doing things like that, because that's kind of
life is too short. Yeah. Life is too short for that drama.
Yeah, for sure. Well, let's you know, we're kind of getting near the end here, and I want to, before we really get signed off, I want to ask you about Clubhouse and kind of segue into Clubhouse. What you're doing with growth hacking, it's the way I understand it, this is something that can be applied to specific platforms. Like you mentioned Quora, but with Clubhouse, it sounds like you almost had some growth hacking even in that strategy, because you were able to create one of the largest, I guess it was the largest, business rooms that was hosting, you know, what, 2,000 people every day, 2,000 listeners every day. Something
7 days a week for like 5, sometimes 11 hours straight. So I had tens of thousands of people listening to that room every day.
Wow. So what did you do? Like, how were you able to build a room so large?
Okay. So, this is where the growth hacking mindset came in. What I did in the early days, for anyone on Clubhouse, everyone likes to talk about doing your own room consistently, which I did. Jumping in other rooms and speaking and giving value, which I did. And then just properly, like, thankfully, I know how to speak. I've built that skill over many years. I know what I'm talking about because I spent most of my life not saying anything and just learning like crazy. I read like crazy. So I'm in a position to be able to give value. And I've had some success that puts me in the right position. So I got the basics done. Without the basics, like if I wasn't giving value in those rooms, I'd never have the biggest room. Mm-hmm. Okay. And when my room stopped, when I faced the drama, I wouldn't have that big community supporting me, sending thousands of messages to Clubhouse. So that level of support wouldn't be there. So again, like I said, copywriting is key for growth hacking. Clubhouse, it's audio only. You have to know how to speak. Yeah. When we have guests, even if guests achieve tremendous success, I would look at, are they able to eloquently communicate a message? If not, they're probably not the best guest to have.
Right.
So that's the basic thing. It's audio only. You know, people have to speak well, not look good. Now, how did I growth hack it? The best thing I did for growth hack, like we didn't go deep into growth hacking because the platform is very new. The community was very small when I was there. Like I stopped being there about a month and a bit ago. But when I was there, the community was very small. So growth hacking, when I started growth hacking, it backfired. And my growth hack was very simple. Like, you know, on Instagram, you reach out to influencers, you pay them, hey, can you support me? That was my initial growth hack. Can you promote this product? That's influencer marketing 101. Mm-hmm. So the growth hack I went to is we went to moderators. My team's like, you go to moderators, hey, when I was nothing, hey, we can pay you and just help us become a moderator and give us an audience. I thought that would help, it works the same way as other platforms. But turns out, no, it's a small community and they responded badly. Now it would work. Now that it's matured and there's people that do that and you pay them. Mm-hmm. But back when I wanted to offer them payment, it backfired pretty badly and people weren't happy. Now I'm charging for that service. So it's just timing was not right. And the growth hack I did, though, was building relationships with influencers. So there were people with a big following that I'm friends with now. What I did essentially was I would just reach out to them and give them value. I had a team behind me, mm-hmm. chat to them every day. How can I bring you value? Build relationships with them. So when I created my own room and I invited them, and I would invite them every time I create a room, they would come and they would support. So it's a very, very basic growth hack. Mm. Now, if I was starting out now on Clubhouse, it's much easier. Like we can reach out to all of Clubhouse's members. We can reach out to them, message them, say, hey, join our room. We could do that right now. So if I was on Clubhouse right now, if I wasn't having that issue of the whole bullying aspect of it, if I was on Clubhouse right now, I would just message hundreds of thousands of people on Clubhouse and say, join my room, for example. I would use that audience and remarket to them as well. I would then go to moderators. Now moderators charge. Say, hey, I pay you, come support my room. But that works a bit less. Clubhouse is going to open up soon. There's an easy way to find Clubhouse communities on different platforms. You can scrape Clubhouse Facebook groups, Clubhouse communities on Telegram, etc. Scraping means get their email and then DM them on Instagram, etc. in an automated way. So that's what my team would do. Say, hey, join our room. All these things we could do right now. We didn't do them back then because it was too small and we just bootstrapped it from nothing. But if I'm starting from scratch, and I'm sure people are doing it, there's ways to do that as well. So that would be my two cents. But it all comes down to if you don't give value in that room, it wouldn't work. And another thing we did, another growth hack, when my room started growing every day to over 1,000, to get it to like 2,000-3,000 mark, we would bring celebrities. So I would bring people like, Randy Zuckerberg, Jay Shetty, Ty Lopez, Grant Cardone, all these people would drop in my room on a regular basis in some cases, Jesse Itzler, Craig Clemens, Brendan Burchard, all these people drop in all the time to my room.
Wow. So you had talked about there was, I guess, a bullying incident that happened. So
no, it's mind boggling. Yeah, it's just crazy. Like I told you, there's a story about me calling up. I've called out people that sell courses all my life. And then someone, a celebrity, centimillionaire, thought I'm the one that's selling courses. I assumed that because there was a few. So on Clubhouse, it's like moderators, you get a green badge. So I was in a room, one of the various moderators. I was actually asleep. He came in, there was two or three moderators that were selling courses. He assumed everyone was, and then he made a whole fuss about it, started reporting everyone. He made it his vendetta to call out those people selling courses on the platform, which, you know, I fight his battle. You know, I called out these people. Actually, in the early days of Clubhouse, by the way, I called out those people openly on the platform, and many of them blocked me. And that almost destroyed my journey on Clubhouse before it even started. And I had on my Clubhouse bio, I never sell courses. I never charge for helping. I always help for free. I never charge for courses. I always help for free. In big capital letters in my bio. So I was like the anti-course person that backfired on me. And now here I am. He thought I was the person, the leading that team of course sellers. I was the head of it because I had the biggest room. And then they all reported me. And then I'm guessing that's got my account suspended because the next day I was suspended. And then I'm still suspended five weeks later. I'm still not sure why, to be honest. I'm not sure why I'm not reinstated. But that's the platform is still growing. The algorithm is still maturing. So obviously they're building the platform up. It sucks because, I had massive momentum.
Yeah.
But I'm doing the same thing on Twitter Spaces. We did a Twitter Space yesterday. So Twitter Spaces is copying Clubhouse. We did a Twitter Space yesterday called The Roundtable with some of the biggest names on Twitter. And that was the biggest space of the day. And I'll be doing that and I'll be dominating Twitter Spaces soon as well. And again, growth hacking mentality, get people with a big following. Then their followers will be notified when they run a space and get them to tweet about it. So like the same concept of, and plus I have the reputation I did on Clubhouse of building the biggest room. So now people know that I build big rooms and they come to me on Twitter Spaces. But I'm using that same strategy, the gaming the algorithm. The algorithm favors people that have a big following. Bring them to your room, have them speak, have them tweet about it on Twitter. So it's the same concept. And Twitter is copying Clubhouse. Telegram is copying Clubhouse. Facebook is obviously copying Clubhouse like they do all the time. So the concept of audio-only chat is here to stay. And leverage leverage the algorithm, have a growth hacking mentality in everything you do. I had another story of my business partner was in Turkey on New Year's Day. I know we have to go. We're almost done. Broke his leg. We growth hacked him to be able to come travel to another country to even though he was not allowed to travel. We found a way to growth hack him, messaged everyone at the airlines. It's a crazy story. I have a video about it. It's outside of business. Got him out of the country to do his surgery for his broken knee and a shattered knee or whatever. So growth hacking is a way to get ahead in life.
Yeah, I'm curious to hear, and thank you for sharing that story. And it's, I think with social media now, even before we had started the interview, we were talking about just, the censorship. And I think in your case, it was almost like guilty by association. You were just in a room and there were people that were selling it. You said you were asleep, right? When all that was going on. So, I mean, things, these platforms are so big with so many people that I can only imagine how challenging it must be. Sometimes even though as frustrated as I can, as it can appear when you see the censoring and things happening. And even when you need some support from like a company like Facebook and you're frustrated by the lack of support, at the same time, I also try to understand it's like, there's billions of people that are on this platform. And, so to be able to keep up with that and to follow the laws and to, stay within the guidelines, or I'm not an expert in it. I imagine it must be really challenging. So, and Clubhouse is growing so quickly that probably for them, you're in the queue somewhere buried in the haystack.
I'm not in the queue. The thing is, they know about my case. All of them know about my case.
Oh, they do?
I'm still
okay.
Not reinstated. And there's still no, I still don't understand why. So it's a very bizarre drama. I'm still trying to get my head around it.
Yeah.
I don't understand. We've been in communication. They've only responded once directly. And everything else, all other communication was indirect. Even though probably the most high profile suspension on the platform. They've even said they know about my case. So it's very bizarre. I don't understand why. I don't get it. I'm not going to sit there guessing why. But it's also, it's just fascinating to see, here is someone that hasn't sold a course, hasn't crossed any line, and just brings value to the platform on a daily basis. At least I see it as such, and everyone else does, thousands of people every day. And then, imagine I didn't have my companies. I didn't have my life off the platform. I didn't have things to do off the platform. Imagine I put all my effort into Clubhouse, and I built that following. I built that became my life. And then it just gets cut, little communication, and there's no way for me to communicate with them. And just, they literally control people's lives with this. And it's immense responsibility. So it's just a fascinating power that the social media platforms have.
I know.
And now I can empathize a lot more for people that have a big following on platforms like Instagram. But hey, because they posted one nude photo, their account suspended, or they're a sex worker, their account suspended, or they made a wrong tweet. I'm not political or anything, so I'm not referring to the Donald Trump in this case. But I'm just general. I know Donald Trump is a high-profile one, but they made one tweet, or they stand for something that the platform doesn't agree with. Now, again, there is guidelines that you should follow. You should not, posting illegal content is wrong, breaking the clear guidelines. And if you've received a warning and they keep breaking them, that's a different story. They've warned you.
Yeah.
But to be immediately suspended with no warning and never be not have recourse, especially smaller fish. I've got big following. And I've had big influence on the platform, so I've got a voice. But imagine people that don't have a voice, and there's a lot of people that were suspended of Clubhouse, still suspended more than a month, but they don't have the voice that I have. And it hit them hard because it became their life for a few months. I've been on platform for 6 months before I got suspended, for 6 weeks. They've been on platform for 2-3 months. And it's just sad to see that happen to them. And I hope that there's the platforms take this more seriously, because they do control people's lives to an extent in many cases.
Yeah. For especially in this day of time where a lot of people are building businesses online and they're, they get concentrated on these platforms, and Facebook has been one of those platforms too. I've noticed that, and I'm connected with some people who run ads as an agency, and they've told me that randomly it'll just be one day and the whole business page has been shut down, completely shut down.
This is messed up. There's a lot of smart people working there. So from a technical perspective, I'm sure there's a reason. If we get one of the devs here, one of the architects or whatever, he can say, hey, it's because X, Y, Z, give us technical answer. But from a victim's perspective, it's insane. Like, I have a lot of companies. Now, I'm a growth hacker. We game algorithms. So for us to get accounts suspended, it's okay. Like, we do that for a living, sure. But I've got e-commerce companies as well that do nothing. Like, everything's white hat. And then there's one word that's wrong or one image that has a breast showing too much when selling bikini. And then the whole account gets suspended and takes us days to unsuspend it. Mm-hmm. That can really harm a business. And I've seen stories of things happening to people for literally no reason. I go to my Facebook guy, I'm like, hey, come on, like, what did we do? What could it be? He's like, Mario, I generally cannot even guess what it is. And a business could depend, 80% of their revenue could be from Facebook.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they just left there. They got employees to pay, etc. So, you know, great, you know, with such massive impact, you know, comes great responsibility with such power. Clubhouse is heading down that same path as well. If they continue growing, they will have a lot of power, a lot of influence. And with that will come great responsibility. Mm. I think, like, the way I've been treated, if that doesn't change, the platform will definitely suffer, because the case has been, everyone I've spoken with, no one understands, like, right. No one can give me a logical explanation of why it would just be treated this way. So I hope that they improve, and I hope anyone else is struggling to bring back value to the audience, struggling, like, that's depending too much on one platform. Diversify your life, diversify your business. It's good to focus. There's a great book called The One Thing. But when you focus on the one, if I focus everything on Clubhouse, had nothing else and that happened to me, I'm screwed.
Mm, I agree. I agree completely. I think you have to have some diversification and where you're visible and where people can connect with you. And I know I hear a lot of, you know, recommendations like build your list, you know, at least own the traffic and build that. So, you know, in case something happens, you get shut down, or have, you know, presence in different platforms in case one, you know, 'cause you're on Twitter Spaces now, you were on Clubhouse, but, you know, you just reverted your energy over to Twitter Spaces doing the same thing, you know, too bad for Clubhouse, good for Twitter, because, you know, they get the value that you're bringing to the platform. And that's what makes the platforms work.
Yeah, that's what's crazy. Like, Twitter Spaces team was smart enough to, my first space, they were there with me. They DM me. I've never heard anyone from Clubhouse. Like, I had the biggest daily business room. I haven't had one person reach out to me from Clubhouse about my suspension or before. One call with the Clubhouse team, none of that. So, we'll see. Like, they're very early. They grew very quickly. For anyone on Clubhouse, I've told you how I grew. I've given you some tips on how to grow. Yeah. If you've got any questions, just DM me as well. But it's a platform they should definitely focus on. But also look at Twitter Spaces, which is still early in the Clubhouse. Very, very early. Still in beta. You know, deep beta. Like, it's got a lot of glitches and stuff. Telegram is looking to, I think they're about to introduce a similar feature. Telegram is really fast. The Russians are fast with this stuff. Facebook is doing fireside chat. So I would go deep in those things. Audio only chat is here to stay. And you know that yourself, Jake. You said to me, you're on Clubhouse, you saw my room here and there. Yeah. So you know the power of audio only chat, and that's why you're doing a podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. I love the audio experience and having the ability to connect with people. You know, that was one of the things I loved about Clubhouse, was just that connection that, you know, you could get with people that was unlike any other platform. You know, I felt like I was really building some meaningful relationships. So, well, Mario, we're at the end of the episode here. I want to ask, like, where can people get connected with you? I know you're on Twitter Spaces, but, like, where would be the best way for people to get in contact?
Best way for people to make the get most value out of me, to make the most out of knowing me, is just DM me on any platform. Say, I want to join your community. Someone will add you in. We have WhatsApp communities, Facebook communities, but we go above and beyond in helping. Mm. And people have asked me why I do it. Like, what's your end goal? What's your funnel? What's your strategy? Especially on Clubhouse, you know, my community, getting over 1,000 messages a day, literally, not overdoing it, 1,500 messages a day, people wanting to join from Clubhouse. And people saying, like, what's your goal? Is there a course? Is there anything there? For me, I think the value is the community. I think there's massive value in having a community there. And plus, I get so much pleasure out of it. It's a bit weird, but it is what it is. So just Google my name, Mario Naufal, N-A-W-F-A-L, N-A-W-F-A-L, and just DM me on any platform, and I am here to help.
Awesome. Well, and also, too, for the listeners here, this episode, I'm gonna take some bites out of this and have some highlights and create that digital home for Mario's episode on the Introspective Podcast website. And we'll give you kind of all the links and things that we were talking about, how people can get connected with you as well, just to kind of stream.
And I'll give a shout out to Jake's YouTube. So if you want to see this, but I haven't seen it all yet, especially where I'm living now.
Yeah.
I'm filming it as we speak. Man. No one can see it right now. If you're not on video, you can't see it. There's upstairs.
Yeah.
If you're not on video, you're not seeing where I live. There's a little CTA for going to video to build up that YouTube channel.
We created a massive open loop now for my audio audience. They're just like, they're on, I know they're keyboarding it up, getting on YouTube. It is pretty nice. I remember I got on, I was like, dude, you look like you're in a castle right now. It's like, I see all this beautiful stone backdrop, mahogany wood. So, yeah, man, this is great. Thank you so much. And for anybody listening, for that section, just go to introspectivepodcast.com/Mario Naufal. It's MarioNaufal. And then I'm going to have the YouTube video, you know, the full episode here, some highlights, some links and things like that on how you can get connected and anything else Mario might want me to put on that page. I try to create a digital home for everybody that I interview to really highlight them. My goal is to shine your light as bright as I possibly can, man. So I try to create the flywheel for it. So that's my goal here with that. So definitely go check that out. Get connected with Mario. Your growth hacking strategies sound incredible. I'm going to personally reach out on these communities too, because you've really got me interested in learning about this stuff.
It's crazy. Like the amount of podcasts I jump on and then the host of the podcast jumps in and starts implementing them. Honestly, man, like, I mean, I don't have a course to sell. I know someone that has, so I can recommend if someone wants a paid course. There's a boot camp. It's like $100 every 3 months. Really good. It's called the Growth Hacking Boot Camp. I'll give him a bit of a plug here. I'm not affiliated, no commission, nothing. But he has a good boot camp that he has a community too. His name is Kirill. But I do want to say that I promise, like I've said this even before I had the agency. Now I have an agency. But I was saying it before when I was doing it just for my companies and not for clients. It's the best thing that's happened to me in many years. It gives me an edge in everything I do. It's crazy. Like right now after this podcast, I'm going to jump in my team because yesterday they gave me all these, like a list of strategies. Sorry for swearing, but I'm going to record that call and maybe post it. If you join that call, you listen. It's mind boggling the things they tell me, man. Like Mario, we can do this. We can automatically comment on YouTube videos, hundreds a day, doing now thousands a day with any comment you like automatically. So if it's a good copy, we can send out an automatic comment to every podcast telling people, hey, this other podcast is better, for example. I'm just giving you an example. So that does yesterday to tell me about it. So yeah, man, it just fascinates me, but I know we're over time, so I'll just shush.
Yeah, no, I'm taking it in, man. This is great. Like you're certainly somebody who, and I said it in the beginning in the open, I really feel like you've cracked the code here. And just hearing the different angles that you take in your strategies, and clearly you're very successful. You've done very well for yourself and in a really interesting way. Like you're truly, like you're the epitome of the person that has, you know, listen, you could throw me out on the streets and give me a certain amount of time, I'm going to be back where I was, because you know how to bootstrap it. You know how to growth hack it and get back to the top. And I think that is a skill set that that is probably like the most valuable skill set I can think of anybody having, to be able to just, no matter what life throws at me, you can put me anywhere you want. You know, you can put me in Lebanon in a villa. You can put me in Colombia, wherever it needs to be. I'm going to growth hack it and I'm going to get just to the top.
Just like that movie. What is it? Grant Cardone and Billionaire, Undercover Billionaire. Show. It's fascinating. He puts him, I haven't watched any full episode. I've just watched clips here and there with nothing. There's Grant Cardone, someone before him that does the same thing. I forgot his name. But they put him in that position, a billionaire from nothing, and showing you that because you've learned certain things. You know how certain things work. You know how certain shortcuts, like knowing the skills that you know. And that's why it's always good to learn from people like you know, myself, but people even smarter than me, people that have been there. You learn from them. You learn from other people's mistakes instead of having to do them yourself from the beginning. So I've learned from my own mistakes. I've learned from other people's mistakes because I'm always humbly learning and reading. So when I go out and starting from scratch, I know what not to do. At least I know what not to do. And yeah. I know things that I can do and do them in a way that gets me a better return because I've been there and done that. And that's why podcasts like this give you that edge. But they only give you an edge if you've got a pen and paper, if you're taking notes, if you're going out there and doing something with it. So when I do my rooms on Clubhouse, I'll end it with this. When I did my rooms on Clubhouse, now that's throughout spaces, I would end it with the following. Everyone listening, I want you to go out from this room, from this space, and do one thing that will make a difference to you. Just one thing. Because if you don't do anything, then you just wasted a few hours of your time getting entertained instead of doing something with what you learned.
Yeah. And it's those small steps, right? Those small steps that you can take, just go do that one thing and go implement it. Cause most people don't do anything. They'll listen to something and they're like, that sounds amazing. That sounds great. It's like, cool. What did you do with it? I went and got me a sandwich or something and I didn't do anything with it. Don't be afraid to be legendary. Get out there and make it happen. So Mario, thanks so much. I appreciate your time, brother. And everybody listening, thank you for tuning in to today's Daily Deep Dive here on the Introspective Podcast. And we will see you on tomorrow's episode. Thank you for tuning in to today's episode of the Introspective Podcast, where mindful entrepreneurs get their daily deep dive to uncover new opportunities, raise their state of awareness, and shift the introspective towards their next breakthrough moment in both life and business. And if that sounds like you, then make sure to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. You can find the show on Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and Amazon. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow here on the Introspective Podcast.